of the federal election campaign in more controversy today for the Trudeau Liberals after Cabinet Minister Mariam Monsef made these comments regarding the Taliban earlier today.
I want to take this opportunity to speak to our brothers, the Taliban. We call on you to ensure the safe and secure passage of any individual in Afghanistan out of the country.
As you might imagine, those comments calling the Taliban Brotherhood certainly creating and stirring a lot of controversy. For more on this, here is crisis communicator Randy Rahamim from Teneo Strategies. She joins us now here on Global News Radio. Randy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Okay, these comments, they are trending all over social media. Just how problematic is this for the Liberal campaign, Justin Trudeau?
You know, as much as it's bothersome to many of us, I actually don't think it's going to be all that troubling for the campaign. And here's why. I mean, Minister Monsef came out and said this was a cultural reference, that obviously she still considers them a terrorist organization. I think this will be a huge issue for Ms. Monsef herself within her own riding. But I don't see this really derailing the Liberal campaign. And I think it's a huge political misstep, regardless of culture. You know, I can't speak to whether culturally that's an appropriate term. That's not my place to speak to. But what I can say is that it's a huge political misstep that she is communicating in Canada, and that she should have known as a minister how this would be, how this would come across. And so I think if I were Trudeau, I'd make her issue an apology. And a statement, a more definitive statement, and I would let her own it.
All right. How about Afghanistan? Sorry, in general, the Prime Minister was asked about Afghanistan in a press conference in BC a short time ago, and whether or not he would consider coming off the campaign trail in order to deal with the crisis there. Is that something you think he should consider doing?
You know, the notion that you can't actually pursue democracy and manage international issues, I think that we have a sophisticated enough political system that he can certainly manage both. I don't think it's justifiable to say we should halt an election campaign, but I do think that we should be holding his feet to the fire to say, what are you doing about this? Like, there's a deadline. We're not getting people out fast enough. This is a massive humanitarian crisis. What are you doing about it? Like, don't talk to me about your housing plan. Talk to me about how we're going to help, you know, these folks that put their lives on the line to support Canada and our mission. So I think, and you know, 160, I think it was 160, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, 160 Canadian soldiers died in Afghanistan on this mission. This is not a small issue for Canada. This should be a top priority for us.
All right, let's talk about the Liberal campaign overall to date, because all of this comes after a tweet was flagged by Twitter as misinformation made by Chrystia Freeland regarding comments from Erin O'Toole in a two-tier healthcare system. Just overall, it seems as if the Liberals have stumbled out of the gate here. According to some polls, they've lost what was a 5-point lead at the time the election was called. How do you see it? How are they doing communicating their message so far, Randy?
So I think they had a massive, I think you're right, Jeff. I think they had a very sluggish start. It almost felt like, first of all, they were talking in platitudes. They were regurgitating, you know, messages from their budget. It felt like 2015 all over again. And that message falls flat when you're in the middle of a pandemic and crisis. So that was really annoying. I think we started to see a shift. With the pursuit of these wedge issues. So that issue that you touched upon, private healthcare, making Canadians scared of Erin O'Toole, that he's going to privatize healthcare, that he's for privatized healthcare. Those wedge issues play well for the Liberals. And we've also started to see more specific policy initiatives like housing being discussed more. So I think they had a sluggish start, but we're starting to see them move a little bit more towards specific policies, which I think will do well for them. And I have seen some polls in the last day or so where there's been a bit of an uptick in polling. I think they gained 3 points in the last day or so. Now, all that is moving. I think they had a very sluggish start, but they're doing better now.
Okay, just before we move off the Liberals, why do you think they had a sluggish start? I mean, this is the third campaign that Justin Trudeau has been the head of. They were the ones that called this election. And of course, there's this undercurrent of why. Why are we having an election? And is that a question maybe the Liberals themselves, other than the fact they wanted a majority, are having a hard time answering? And that's maybe why they've had this sluggish start?
I think it's really hard to find different ways to say, I want a better job. That's quite honestly why we're having this election, right? The Liberals won a majority, and their polling told them that now was the time before a fourth wave got worse. And so, yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling to say why, to provide us with another reason as to why. And I think that you're right. They dictated the timing. They knew that this was coming. It seemed like they were unprepared. So a shocking start for sure. I also think they thought they'd get more of a pass from media, that they underestimated the opposition slightly, and more of a pass from Canadians as to why we needed an election. I think they underestimated just how little stomach we have for this election.
All right, let's shift to Erin O'Toole and the Conservatives. As I mentioned, polls this week have got the Conservatives and the Liberals in a bit of a dead heat. But do you think that's because of something the Conservatives and Mr. O'Toole himself has done out on the campaign trail? Or is it because of what we've been discussing here for the last 5 minutes or so, and the Liberals have kind of come back to the pack?
Yeah, it's kind of like they've been giving the Liberals a ton of rope to hang themselves. But they have had some very interesting approaches in the studio in Ottawa is a very interesting approach to a campaign. I mean, they're managing most of their messages and delivering most of their messages basically in a vacuum in a studio in Ottawa. And I think Canadians might have a stomach for this, because right now we're doing a lot of things virtually, right? So the notion that he's not out on the road everywhere across the country, but is in fact, has moved the campaign to a digital world, it brings into question, is this the future of campaigns? I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if some Canadians, let's say across the country, really want to see him on the ground in their communities, if that still matters in a pandemic world. But it definitely is an interesting approach. And the other thing that Conservatives have going for them is a really solid social media machine. They're very fast acting, very reactive. Sometimes they stumble, but they can make a media issue out of something very quickly. And so that machine, I think, will be very useful in this campaign.
All right. And over to the NDP and Jagmeet Singh. What do you make of the way Mr. Singh and the NDP campaign have come out of the blocks in the first week and a half? Have they been effective in communicating their message and winning people over?
So in communicating their message, Jeff, I think they've done the best job. I think Jagmeet, you know what Jagmeet stands for. Like, the average Canadian knows that he speaks in clear, bite-sized, messages. He's got five top messages, let's say. He's going to tax the ultra-rich. He's for vaccines. He's going to make life more affordable. He couldn't be clearer. And I think that, there are a couple of questions with Jagmeet. One is, he's had a huge presence on TikTok. He's got about 700,000 followers on TikTok. He's been spending a lot of time courting them, communicating with them. Are the TikToks going to vote? And, we've seen in American elections that, in fact, they do. But it's a question. And it's a question, will they vote, and will they vote in the right places? And then secondly, are we going to see him become more strategic and move to start to attract more middle-class Canadians? Maybe say you're not going to tax the doctors or heavily tax the doctors and the nurses and the people that, that he needs to court to eat into the Liberal vote. I think that would be a strategic move for Jagmeet. And if I were O'Toole, I would also start, we've already seen evidence of O'Toole trying to encourage, and prop up the NDP. But all this strategic voting message, I think we're going to see more and more of, right? We're going to see the Liberals say, it's really important that you vote for, the Liberals to keep the Conservatives out. We're the only ones that can do it. We're going to see the Conservatives say that prop up the NDP a little bit more to try and split the Liberal vote.
Right. And I was going to ask you, do you think that is Jagmeet Singh's biggest challenge, probably in the closing weeks of the campaign? Because we're already hearing it. This is a short campaign, only some 36 days. But is his biggest challenge is to somehow overcome that argument that a vote for him and the NDP is really a vote for the Conservatives?
For sure. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges he's going to have to overcome. And also, quite honestly, not to be so scary to the middle class that think that, it's just not economically feasible to vote for the NDP. I think that he's got to make himself seem like a more credible choice, a less fearful choice for middle class Canadians.
All right. We'll leave it there for now. Randy, really appreciate the time and the analysis. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Randy Rahamim, crisis communicator with Teneo Strategies, looking at the leaders in the first week and a half, almost 2 weeks of the federal election campaign here on Global News Radio.